That's high. That breaks through. Speaking of all-time greats, what a goal. How good is he?
If you're David Mundy, you can do anything.
Brayshaw. Oh, he goose-stepped beautifully. And a couple. Herky-jerky, shake and bake. Magnificent.
Welcome back to the Flag Mantle Podcast. You're here with your favourite host of the Flag Mantle Podcast. I'm Stuart Sterling, and I'm so glad to be back for season 4, I believe it is now, episode 1. It took a little bit of time to get back in the studio. I had to set a few things up, had to try a few other podcasts. Don't look into my podcasting history. That wouldn't be very... I wouldn't like that. Let's just not go there. But episode 1, we had to come out with a bang, and the person I wanted to get got COVID. And so now we are on... Mate, okay, before I say what I was about to say, you're just as equal of a guest as who got COVID before, but let's play the hotkey.
It's time for the moment you've been waiting for.
So our guest today, he has 5.5 Instagram followers. He has all the knowledge of the inside scoops when it comes to waffle prospects, and he's been down at Frio at Coburn a few times here and there. We have the one, the only, Chris Chung. Sorry, I didn't want to say that incorrect. Chris, welcome to the studio today. We are here to discuss everything Fremantle and some specialty things. But before we get into the game itself and the club itself, Chris, how are you, mate?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Yeah. I'm pretty good. So you actually do a little bit of work down at Fremantle. How did that come about and what do you do?
Thanks for asking that. I think that's something I'd like to share with a lot of people, because I think that's something not too many people know too much about in that sort of in the footy industry. So what some people might not know is that I am an exercise science student at Curtin Uni. So in part of that degree, you have to do like 2 placements to get exercise science hours up. So one prac is at Coburn Arc, just doing some like gym-based stuff. The other one is more of a generalized sort of your preference of what industry you want. And then Frio, being partnered with Curtin in that sort of exercise science space, has this partnership. So they can take up to a couple students each year to complete their allocated prac placement there. So I'm one of 7 people who've started since November and will continue to do it throughout the year.
Yeah, right. So how did your interest in sports science begin, and how many students get let through to Fremantle?
So to answer that first one, I think it's just mainly after high school, who knows what they want to do. I just want to do sport, flick through like that booklet we get in year 12, what degree you want, sports science appeared, pick that,
yep.
And then went from there.
Yeah, right. And so how many students from Curtin get to go down to Frio once a week?
It depends on like how many available. I know this year it's 7. Mm-hmm. In the past, it's probably been about 5 to 7. So I think it just really depends on like how many they want to take in, because over the last couple of years, they've sort of changed like the way they've done it. So I think in previous years, it was mainly stick in one department within their footy department. Mm-hmm. But this year, we've sort of been split into 2 different aspects of it.
Mm-hmm. And what's the day-to-day lifestyle down at the club? What do you actually get up to on a daily basis when you're down there?
So we're mainly involved in 2 aspects of footy. So we're involved in their high-performance department. So the sports science, that we do a lot of GPS tracking during their trainings and whatnot. And the other is sort of the data analytics. So we go into more of that technical side of footy. So we're recording training sessions, and then we're sort of coding and stacking all that footage we get, and then we just relay that off to the coaches and they can present it to the players themselves.
Yeah, right. So are you looking to get into that industry after your degree? And if so, what are the sort of opportunities you're going to be able to get straight out of uni?
First question, yes.
Yes.
I want to fucking do this. Yep. I want to work in footy.
Yep.
So to answer that, I think... Mm-hmm. Every year, they always take one sort of student from each placement just to do like some research. And although it's not guaranteed you can get into footy straight away, it's sort of you just have that experience of working within like club land that is really good for your resume and also the things that they teach you, and that can really help you set yourself up to go possibly move interstate to maybe Victoria, South Australia, and wherever, or just even in another sport as well.
Mm-hmm. Is that something you consider, moving over east to keep the dream going?
I think so. I think probably I feel like I at least want to experience what it's like working in footy in Victoria, because I think although it's big here, it's really only two-team town, I think.
Yep.
Melbourne lives and breathes footy. Yeah, and well, basically the whole of Victoria as well.
There's 10 whole teams to be employed by over east, so there'll be no shortage of work over there. So any advice for maybe a kid that's going through school right now who's in year 10, 11, or 12 that wants to go down the sort of sports science route and work with clubs and go into pro sport, what sort of advice would you give someone that is in the end of high school that is looking to go down the same route as you?
Experience, so working experience, whether it be volunteering or some sort of paid job, just getting your name in there, just getting some networks, so you never know what could happen, and you're just basically just setting yourself up to learning special things, because that's a good segue to my actual experience of helping me getting Fremantle, and that's through the East Fremantle Footy Club as a sports trainer.
Right, so you went to East Frio as a sports trainer. Was that volunteer work?
It was basically volunteer work, because Curtin, I think a couple of years, sort of like first or second year, they advise our students to start working in sport to get that experience to help you with your prac and set yourself up.
Yeah, okay. And so that was really, really valuable in moving forward, because I know in the radio industry it's the same thing, which is what I'm studying, which is where we are, by the way. But yeah, having a podcast behind me for X amount of time just helped so much in terms of general knowledge. Like, I don't know a whole lot about radio in terms of how it's set up, but I know, you know, this is the button you need to press and this is what it should sound like. And that's sort of, is that the same sort of thing in clubland?
Yeah, and especially in sport as well, because I think you sort of, most people in sport, they're players, but they don't really not involve. So maybe like whether it be umpiring, coaching or other stuff. So it's really just seeing what's out there and just being not afraid just to look. You can always ask people like where to start looking from.
And speaking of the players, how many connections have you made with players, Frio Docker players? Have you been able to speak to many? You know, do you know them on a first name basis by now? What sort of connections do you have to the playing list at the moment?
I'm definitely exposed to the players, especially when I'm doing sort of high performance in part of my prac. So obviously giving them their GPS units each training session. So obviously I interact with the players, but it's not too long.
Yep.
I think the only players that actually acknowledge my name is Andy Brayshaw and Bailey Banfield, because they always call me Chris.
Yeah, right. And that speaks volumes to both of them boys, done it? Because I know Bailey Banfield has been... he's just a wonderful person. If you speak to anyone who knows him, he's like, yeah, top guy. And same thing goes for Brayshaw. So in your experience, is that true as well?
Yeah, I think that definitely makes it really special just coming to the club, that people actually acknowledge who you are. You're not just a student, like going off that first name basis. So yeah, that's really special.
Yeah, so let's get into your Instagram account now. 5,500 followers on a page called WA Footy Prospects. You're pretty proud of that one. How did that one come about?
Yeah, I think I've stated on a couple of times, even including the basically Flagmantle 1.0 that happened a couple of years ago. So happy to say it again. How I like to say the story is passion and boredom.
Yep.
Passion, I love my footy. I love everything about it holistically. That includes the draft. Boredom. Finished, I think, exams my first year. Had nothing to do. So in like November, there was like the draft was coming up. But there wasn't really too much of like a WA sort of aspect of like news coming out. It was mainly just purely just Victorian. Was thinking like, oh, surely there's like an outlet. There was no outlet. Decided to maybe see what happens. And then thing got a couple of like encouraging people. I think you were one, because you had Caleb 3 votes. So you obviously, there's insight
back
in.
Back in the day.
That's OG people.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think having that experience of like just asking you like how to run an account, and then yeah, just posted a couple things that actually did pretty well for like my account. Got to 100 followers in like 3 days, and then I think a couple hundred by the end of the actual draft. I think it was about 500 to 700.
Yeah.
And then from each year onward, more and more. So I reached 2,000 subscribers. Why I keep saying subscribers. Followers by the end of 2022.
Yep.
And then 5,000 at the end of 2023.
And you've had a bunch of waffle clubs and waffle players and even their mates all follow you and repost you on their stories. What's that like seeing, I don't know, in East Perth or even East Frio? Because you were down there. Yeah. East Frio put you on their story.
They do.
What was that like when you saw everyone showing love?
It definitely shows that the validation I get, just like knowing that I'm producing good content where people actually like it. And then it sort of gives me the motivation just to keep going. So keep improving, keep posting. And I think, yeah, just I love it. And then I love making it. So I hope it probably makes a lot of people love it as well.
Mm-hmm. And to wrap that up, what's the plug? Where can people follow?
It's at WA Footy Prospects on Instagram.
Are you going to be expanding to other socials or is that a little bit of ways away yet?
I think just because of the time with all my uni stuff. So I think other platforms might be something too much of a stretch at the moment, but you never know.
Yeah, never know. I mean, podcasting is one of these things, Chris. If you wanted to get into it, that'd be such a great niche. I know there's another podcast, Brain Ethan, that could use some, let's just say help. Mm-hmm. Let's just go with help in that department. Anyways, let's move on to the footy. That's what we came here for. That's what we're here to discuss. Fremantle, we played Port Adelaide in the preseason game, and we got smacked. And yeah. I'm not going to go look at the stats. I'm not going to check how much we lost by because, honestly, I don't care. This preseason is simply made to deceive the fan because every year we have a crap preseason, we have a good year. Every year we have a good preseason, we have a crap year. And it's the same for all teams. I just don't think preseason has a whole lot of value. Or is that something the club internally... Not that I'm asking, you know, tell me what the club thinks about this, but is there a certain vibe around the preseason versus, say, game day?
I think there's a definite, like, sort of different mentality to preseason games compared to, like, the actual round one stuff. So I think, really, preseason is just an opportunity to see where the club is at, what they need to rethink, retinker from between then until now. So against West Coast showed a lot of good signs.
Mm-hmm.
Albeit it was West Coast.
Yeah.
Then a decent opposition in Port Adelaide comes around and we get smacked. So I wouldn't say it's alarm bells, but I think there's a lot to think to see bridging that gap between Frio's worst and Frio's best.
Mm-hmm. And from what you've seen internally, your entire opinion, this is opinion-based. This is not from a representative or the club. This is your thoughts. How do you think we're going to go this year, Chris?
I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic than some people have said. I think it's sort of, we've got the talent and I think we've had the success in 2022. So I think that's what we should try to replicate. That sort of dare with the ball off half back instead of just chipping it out and trying to make our way down to the forward 50. So I think it's trying to get it quick because that's footy now. Look at Collingwood last year. They probably evolved a bit on the weekend. But I think the game today is fast, through the corridor, take the game on, not slow ball movement.
Yeah, for sure. Fremantle have been one of the biggest culprits of just chipping the ball around in their back half and not really doing a whole lot with it, which leaves, you know, Luke Ryan with a cheeky 30, Brennan Cox with a cheeky 12 marks and that sort of thing. And I hate it. You're a fan just as much as me, but I bloody hate chipping around the back line. It's stale. It leads to turnovers. I hate turnovers in the back half. And I'm sure that's what it's there to avoid, is turning the ball over in a dangerous position. Because I know JL is a bit of a tactician, the way he thinks in terms of his coaching style. So I know there's some sort of relevance behind chipping the ball around and maintaining possession. But I just don't see how that's going to translate into quick play. Because as soon as you start to set up behind the ball, as soon as you allow your opposition to have that chance to set up, you've lost the ability to run. You've lost the ability to go quick. And I think, in my personal opinion, we just need to run out of our back line. We need to go fast out of defense, even if it leads to a few extra turnovers on the rebound. And that's what Collingwood did in 2022. And Melbourne did that in 21 as well. So it's even the Bulldogs, you go far back to the Bulldogs when they won it in 16. That's what they did as well. They overlapped handball from D50 to O50 pretty much. And I don't think the game has changed a lot in the past few years. A lot of people claim, oh, it's rebounding run game. It was like, well, look at Bulldogs, Richmond, West Coast were a bit of an anomaly. Yeah. They did like to possess the ball. But outside of West Coast, since 2016, I don't think we've seen a team play slow and be successful. So I would like to see the game possibly just get a bit faster from that back half, a bit more dare. And I mean, we've taken our dare out of it, haven't we? Hayden Young's in the midfield now. So what do you think about that move, turning Hayden Young into a full-time midfielder?
Well, we saw evidently against Port Adelaide him just getting first clearance, getting a couple shots at goal, which probably is required from our midfield, just having either like a Sarong, a Brayshaw, or just hit the scoreboard like once every week, just a goal a game.
Well, we haven't had a goal kicking mid in a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since, so probably since five?
Probably, yeah. Probably 15, five, just maybe a couple, two, and maybe 30 disposal games. So I think it's having not solely rely on our forward line, it's having just different avenues of goal. You see with Melbourne having Petrarca bobbing up maybe 25, 30 disposals, but also maybe two goals a game. So having that extra avenue to goal, because I think that's really important for a forward line to be super potent. So you're not just relying on your forwards, you're relying on some mids as well. And just going back on your point about just that ball movement, time is you don't want to give it to your opponent, especially on when you're on offense and they're on defense. You let them get back, set up, impossible to pick holes from there.
I 100% agree with you there, Chris. I actually think the speeding up of sport is not exclusive to football. We've seen it in basketball in years gone by. Scores are hitting 150 easily just because of how quick teams are chucking up shots. Do you watch the EPL?
A little bit of Premier League as a Liverpool supporter.
How much faster has the game gotten in the past decade?
There's definitely that element of taking time away from your opponent. So that's with pressing. So always having an opponent near you, perceived pressure, forcing turnovers, and that's how teams can quickly score. It's that press.
Yeah, I would love to see a bit more from Fremantle when it comes to pressure, because you know, you see the tackle counts at the end of games, and I don't think those are entirely relevant. They don't show us the pressure points on the bloody AFL app, which I'm still mad about, by the way, because we still don't have enough stats on that app, even though they added more. But I would just like to see our forward line play with pressure for four quarters every single week. The goals come. They will come. So, you know, I'm sure this has been drilled into them, you know, like a billion times by now over this preseason. But I do genuinely think our forward line is going to struggle if our smalls don't stand up and put pressure on. So I'm glad they've included Tom Emmett. I'm glad they have excluded Matt Taberner, because he historically hasn't really done anything outside of kicking a goal or two. How's he tracking, by the way? Have you seen him on the track much? Is he fit?
I think he's fit. So I think just probably just in terms of like the pecking order at the club. So they obviously rate Jai Amos as that number one, and Luke Jackson as probably equal number one or number two.
Yeah.
And then you got Josh Tracy, who had a really good preseason. Preseason games probably doesn't reflect his output. And then probably, Taberner fits into that sort of lower pecking order.
Yeah, it's a bit of a shame, because I would have loved a mid-season trade period where we could have unloaded Taberner to potentially a Melbourne or a team that really, or even a Collingwood or something like that, a team that could use a key forward, because he's probably not going to get a game here. I think even Liam Reedy's ahead of him. I know they play a different position, but with Luke Jackson and Josh Tracy playing ruck, forward, whatever, they're pretty much on the same list of players, in my opinion. So I think he's just fallen off a cliff. I don't know what's happened to him, because I was a bit of a defender of Matt Taberner last year. I thought even if his game wasn't the prettiest, he would still kick a goal or two every game. He was pretty consistent on the scoreboard. But yeah, it's a shame to see his career almost went down the drain, because he's never really had a full season, and he's never really been able to piece together his game to the point where you can look at Matt Taberner and go, he's a lock for best 22 in the comp, right? Like, or best 22 in your team. So it's a shame Matt Taberner's not going to be around for much longer. His contract expires at the end of the year, I believe, so look out for Matt Taberner to retire number 20 by next year, and that will be in someone else's shoes. But speaking of contracts, we had some news the other day, Chris. JL got an extension. So here's Simon Garlick, the club CEO, speaking on behalf of the club.
Thanks, everyone, for coming out. Appreciate you making the effort to come down to the Cockburn Arc to hear an announcement that we're incredibly pleased about at the football club, and that is that the club and our senior coach in Justin Longmuir have agreed an extension of his current contract to the end of 2025.
So just the one-year extension for Justin Longmuir, I think that's quite an interesting thing to think about, just the fact that it was a single year, because normally when coaches get extended, it's 2, 3, 4, 5, these long-term deals. I think they've actually taken a really good route by making this a one-year deal, because it's almost non-committal. How much money they're going to be paying him next year is probably nothing in terms of how much cap space they've got. So, yeah, look, it gives Simon Garlick and their crew another year to give Justin Longmuir time to figure out how to play under the new structures the club implemented in the offseason. How do you see Justin Longmuir as the long-term coach at the club? Do you think he's a viable option, or do you think they'll go elsewhere after 25?
In my opinion, I want him to be the coach, because I've heard a lot of talk in amongst like fans, like having JL out, but you can only want someone out to have a viable replacement. And it feels like so far in the coaching world, in terms of either ex-senior coaches or just up-and-coming like assistant coaches, there's not a lot of a pool there. So I think just stick to what you've got, and I have faith in JL bringing some success to the club.
What do you think about the Luke Beveridge rumors? Those are I don't know about Luke Beveridge. I don't know about how he would work at Frio, but there were some rumors a few weeks back that Frio may look towards Luke Beveridge, obviously squashed now. But what do you think about Luke Beveridge as a potential coach of the Dockers?
I think early on he definitely brought that sort of good vibes at the club after 2014, where they were basically in the mud. So having that rejuvenated from 2015, probably, I guess, after the grand final, sort of playing that exciting football, then bringing that back into 2021. But you could sort of see sort of where the club has sort of either moved out key players in different roles. So you see like Caleb Daniel move at half forward, Jack McRae, one of their premier ball users, onto a forward flank, and Bailey Smith out on a wing. So I think that's probably something, as an outsider, you look at is really utilizing your best players and playing in their proper position rather than trying to be ahead of the curve and trying to do something different.
Yeah, I feel like he's gotten a lot of flack for playing players out of position over the years, which I personally think is completely unfair considering the amount of midfielders he's had to work with. Like, he's had a team where maybe 8 to 10 of the players are true midfielders and they've been shifted to other positions. So Bailey Smith before his injury, Jack McRae, you said as well, even Caleb Daniels moved forward back, and he's rotated through a bunch of different positions. And I know Frio fans like a bit of change. I know Frio fans don't like staleness. And so I see, I understand why fans would want Luke Beveridge after, you know, get Tabner out of the team. He's been there too long, and they're calling for different people's heads. Ethan Hughes was one that the old co-host really hated. So, which, Ethan Hughes is a good player. He's a no-mistakes player, by the way. So there's different types of players that do different things. So trust the coach, but in my opinion, I wouldn't be too comfortable with shifting players around like Luke Beveridge does. I think it's really important to find consistency in your playing group and your structure and your team, especially throughout the back end of the year. So, unlucky Luke Beveridge, you've got Rory Lobb now playing in the twos. That sucks. But moving on, we're going to the trade table. That is right. We haven't even played a game yet, and there's already a trade rumor surrounding Fremantle. Have you heard this one, Chris? I think you might have sent it to the chat, actually.
Have I?
I think it was you. It was either you or UCAT, right? Let's play the key. Let's play it.
The update here is that rival clubs are throwing their hat in the ring for Errol and showing their interest, as they should be. He's a superstar. I understand Fremantle and Adelaide are clubs among those to have expressed their interest in Goulden. So he's got family links to South Australia. His sister played in South Australia last year. His brother has played previously there. And Freo, of course, have 3 first-round picks. So they're going to be really active this year, and they're going to be making plays for different players. So there's a play there being made for Errol. Both clubs are cashed up.
Errol Goulden, what a name to be attached to this early in the season. Normally, I don't get my hopes up for these kind of things because I know Fremantle have a terrible history when it comes to attracting new talent. But what do you think about Errol Goulden and his potential fit at the Dockers?
You'll be stupid not to ask the question to get Errol. I think he's proven over the last couple of years that he's been an A-grade wing sort of midfield talent for Sydney. Close to winning the Brownlow last year.
Yeah, it was really close, wasn't he?
I think at least third or fourth.
Yeah, I think it was fourth, I think.
Probably.
So that's a good effort considering the amount of talent that was up the high end of the board that year.
So, possibility of getting Errol and that fit at Fremantle. Well, he's a wingman.
He's a pure wingman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think probably Freo might still need to address some of that depth issue. I think they got Jez Sharp, who's playing on the weekend. Congrats to him getting that. So I think probably ask the question.
Yeah.
And we've got the assets to probably try to lure him over with the salary cap space as well as the picks to hopefully entice Sydney to do something. So to be honest, I think he'll stay at Sydney.
Yeah.
But I think all clubs, including us, should ask the question.
Oh, it'd be a bit ridiculous if 17 other clubs didn't at least call up Sydney or Errol at some point and ask the question, as you said. But I think Sydney are going to be under the pump, and I think Freo are going to put them under the pump this offseason. They've got Logan McDonald and Errol Goulden, both who we've now been linked with. Three first-round picks. Does that get it done?
I think possibly one to get one. Probably not two, but you never know. Because I think even Sydney's been linked with someone like Jamara as like their key forward to replace Buddy. So could that help sort of a domino effect? So Logan leaving Sydney, but having those assets to get Jamara, wait and see.
So if you're a Freo fan, you should really be hoping that Sydney are pushing hard for Jamara Ugo-Hagan, because that's going to get rid of, or that's going to absorb a whole bunch of cap space, first of all. It's going to mean that Logan McDonald is probably no longer a long-term prospect for the club. And it means that they're going to need assets through the door. So Logan McDonald, in my opinion, is probably worth, is he worth a top 10 pick?
I think it's wait and see with him, just because he's now probably the number one key forward of the Swans, whilst he's had Buddy Franklin sort of shadow or take the best defender, and he takes probably the second or third. So it's interesting to see how he goes this year as a full number one key forward.
Yeah.
Just quickly back onto your point about the Swans probably looking for a key forward. They went half for Aaron Norton last year until they signed that mega 8-year contract. So there definitely was an appetite for a number one key forward.
Yeah, right. So be on the lookout for Sydney to attract maybe a Jamara Ugo-Hagan, and that might leave the door open for someone else to come and swoop in a Logan McDonald. Errol Goulden, how much is he worth? In my opinion, he's probably worth 2 to 3 first-round picks. He's one of these genuine stars of the competition. At how old is he, 22, 23?
23, yeah, because he was in the 2020 draft, so he'll be pretty young.
Gee, look at you knowing all the draft stuff. Speaking of our picks, are there any top WA prospects in this draft that we would need 3 first-round picks for?
I think the general consensus from, about WA's draft is probably not the strongest it has been, because in the past couple we've had either 1 or 2 being the top 10. It's looking unlikely that we might have a talent go the top 10, but I think there's probably at least 3 players off the top of my head who's probably first round worth.
Right, so there are WA players available in the first round for Fremantle if we wanted to take them, because I mean, it looks like the Dockers aren't too hesitant to take a Vic Boy if they really want to take a Vic Boy, or a South Australian if they really want to. I mean, I think most of our core is actually Victorians.
Yeah,
if you think
the young ones
it.
With your Brayshaw, Sarong, Young.
Darcy,
yeah.
Yeah, so look, I'm not too concerned about the whole go-home factor thing. I seriously don't think there is a whole bunch of that. Chera left for his own family reasons during COVID. Schultz had something really big come up that he had to go home to attend to. Who are the other ones? Meek won a game time. Who else was in that trade period? Meek?
Well, Logue was sort of more money-wise.
Yeah.
Tucker, probably opportunity. But I think, yeah,
Lob has just whipped. Unfortunately, Lexi. Hey, Lexi, we would like you on the podcast, Lexi, if you're listening. We want to just have a civilized chat because nothing bad is going to happen to you, Lexi. Don't worry about it. Next up, we have got Flagmantle versus. So, round one is upon us. On Sunday, we are taking on the mighty Brisbane Lions. We're going to be taking them on at 3:50 p.m., which means the Yellow Sharons will come out. Is that right? Is it yellow in the
Should evenings? Be, yeah, because yeah, it's going to be like a basically twilight game, so yeah.
Yeah, so the Yellow Sharons for the match at Optus Stadium. Brisbane, they just got, I don't know how to explain it. They got robbed by the Blues, in my opinion. I watched the back end of that game. It was a bit... The umpiring was dicey, let's just say that. But the Brisbane Lions are not going to be coming over here and laying down for us. They're going to be coming here hungry, and they're going to be looking to kick off their season 2024 with a win. So Fremantle are going to need to be in their A game. What are some of the things to look for in this game, in your opinion, Chris?
Definitely the midfield, because you see Lachie Neal is out. So could you exploit that, just trying to get the edge over in that probably winning ground ball gets, the contested possessions, capitalising on that, especially the biggest loss of that trio, Kitty Coleman off the halfback, that's it. So could you go fast? Could you sort of slow down Brisbane's ball movement off their back half and hopefully cause some turnovers? Because they've lost Coleman, who was their best user. Daniel Rich is gone. Booming left foot kick. So wait and see.
Yeah, I like the point you made about slowing down Brisbane, because I went on the main event, which is run by Egg Footy and Jack, who comes here as well. And they asked me, oh, what are you scared about Brisbane? What's the thing that's top of your head? I go, we need to slow down the Brisbane attack off halfback. Look at some of the users they've got back there. They've got Connor McKenna, Darcy Wilmot, Jasper Fletcher plays back there a little bit. Callum Archie's pretty good. Noah Answorth. They're just going to be able to slingshot off halfback, especially at the big open ground at Optus, which I'm assuming it's going to be dry for, because it hasn't rained in a while here in Perth. So we have to be structurally cohesive, and we need to put on all the pressure we can on their back line. So it's going to be a big task, Brisbane, but we know we can do it. Last year we got within 3 points at home, and the year before I think we won.
Yep, two goals.
Yeah, so Brisbane are not our bogey team. In fact, we could be one of Brisbane's bogey teams ourselves. So we've just got to play together, I think, because what I saw in Port Adelaide was incohesive. It was lazy. Maybe lazy is the wrong word. Boring. I thought the ball movement from Fremantle was pretty poor as well. And I don't think many Freo fans are expecting us to be elite with ball in hand. I think we know that's one of our team's weaknesses. But if we can cause the turnover in our forward half, we're every chance to win this game here. Who are you excited to get a look at for the Dockers this year, round one?
Matty Johnson, I think, is probably the one. Just watching when I'm at the club, just seeing him get midfield minutes, because he's strong, he was very clean with ball in hand, has a lot of time, very Scott Pendlebury-esque, so I think he's one that I'm really keen to watching. Luke Jackson again, second year at Fremantle, showed glimpses towards probably that maybe round 9 to 11 mark, but then afterwards he really like sort of put together really good games of winning like some of the ball, kicking a couple goals. So I think, looking forward to watching Dogger.
Yeah, I'm really excited for Luke Jackson this year. One of my big takes this year is that Luke Jackson is going to break out and be the best player at our club. I think he's got all the tools athletically. He's 2 meters tall and moves like he's a small forward. It's unbelievable some of the stuff he does in the midfield. Me and Dad, we sit together and watch the footy every single week, and we're just amazed at the way he can win the ball back after the ruck tap is done. So I'm not too worried about the ruck matchup. I think
McInerney.
Yeah, McInerney is going to probably get the better of the taps. And so Freo are probably going to have to be reactive in the midfield, play back hip, I think, so stop the spread. So for anyone who doesn't know what a just referenced, sorry. Do you understand back here?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so when you've got a huge dominant ruckman like Big O, one of his most valuable traits is that he can basically just smash the ball out and the Brisbane midfield can get a run on play and basically just get a paddock in front of them and go inside 50. If the midfield play on the back hip of whatever the Lions midfielder is doing, that forces McInerney to drop it in short. That way we can get repeat ball-ups, and they're not going to break out the back. So, just watch for that on the weekend. Watch for the midfield. They're probably going to be standing on the outside of the Brisbane midfielders, expecting McInerney to win the tap. And that's when we get Luke Jackson into play, who's the extra midfielder who can probably extract it out of there. I'm also really excited for Hayden Young. What a game he had against Port Adelaide. You touched on it earlier, but he had something like 26 touches, 5 shots on goal.
Yeah, I think 2 goals, 3 or 4, just a little bit inaccurate. But I think, so just having that sort of midfielder who can like hit the scoreboard, because that will be pretty probably neat against a team like Brisbane. Mm-hmm. We need sort of like that potent scoring, because they've got Charlie Cameron, Joey Danaher, Eric Kipwood, Zach Bailey, so they're not short of weapons up forward.
Mm. And they have a few outs, the Brisbane. They're missing Kadeen Coleman, who did his ACL, which sucks. Lockie Neal, I believe that was a hammy?
Yes, like put up sore, I think, after the Brisbane game. I think he alluded to in his press conference early in the week. So I think, is that a management thing, or is it just probably...
I think he's just scared to play the Dockers, man. I fully believe Lockie Neal resents the club now and was going to get his head bashed in by a fan. So he's not coming over. And Jack Payne has been omitted, the key back. So they've gone with a bit of a smaller back line, which is interesting because we've got 3.5 key defenders because Luke Ryan's a bit of a tweener.
Yeah.
And 2 key forwards and a ruck. So do not be surprised if one of those key backs, whether it be McDonald or Cox, ends up drifting forward and we outsize the Lions up front, because it's going to be a dry day, which means sticky hands, which means all we need is good use of the footy going inside 50 and we should be in with a shout against the Lions. Now let's go into selection committee for our own team. Right, so the team is in. It landed just a couple of hours ago, and we've got our final 23 ready. We've got 2 new players making their club debut in Jeremy Sharp and Oscar McDonald, which is very exciting, especially for Jeremy Sharp, because he's a WA boy at heart. And Fremantle tried to go after him in the 2022 offseason, I believe, and the Suns wouldn't let him go. And then he got delisted the next year, which was a bit strange from the Suns. I'm not sure what their list management were doing there. I guess they just didn't want to be scammed by the Dockers again. But anyways, Oscar McDonald as well gets another chance. He played at Melbourne and Carlton, I believe. So he's a half-decent player. He's AFL level-ish. He's sort of a tweener between Waffle and AFL, in my opinion. So he's a good cover for Hamling, who went over to the Swans, of course. And is there anything in this team that surprises you a little bit? Because I was a little bit surprised to see Cooper Simpson sitting on the bench.
No, I think not too many sort of surprises for me. I think that's probably just me seeing what happens at training. And then, I think this is probably the team I'd settle for. Mm-hmm.
Seeing at training, what did you think of Jeremy Sharp? Because there's been some issues with his ball use, but his run and his efforts never been in question. What have you seen that you've liked from Jeremy Sharp?
His aerobic running, how quick he is and how he's able to just run. Because when he came to the club, I think it was his first day, they had Peter Bowl doing like 3 1Ks, and he just kept pace with an Olympian.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the pack just behind him. So that was always one of Jeremy's strengths in his draft year, just his run and also a bit of his explosiveness, because he was like a half-back flanker for East Fremantle and WA as well. So obviously, his running suits a wingman. Mm-hmm. Just being able to can get back on defense, but when the ball is going up the field, he can just run and run and run.
Mm, I think the most important thing for Sharp is going to be his positioning on the ground. Because wing is one of those roles where you need to be here and then you need to be here. And it's not like a midfielder where you follow the ball around or a forward where you lead in certain patterns. It's you need to be here now and you need to do this now. And getting to those spots is hard. Knowing what those spots is even harder. So I really hope Jeremy Sharp comes with a bit of a football brain, because Liam Henry, Jesus Christ, like he could run, but I don't think he ever knew where he was supposed to be in the wing. And I don't know if you can attest to that as, you know, working inside the four walls, but you got there after he left, right?
Yeah, this is would have been sort of the first to 4 years back at pre-season, so probably would have been middle of November.
Yeah.
So right. Long before like the trade period happened mm-hmm. in September, October.
Yeah, so Liam Henry obviously not with the club anymore, but I think Sharp has more upside. If we're being completely honest here, I just don't see it with Henry. He can get tons of the ball if he runs through all these lines. And one time, a play that stuck out with me last year was he was on the wing and he was running from half back and he handballed it, got a receive, kicked it, got a receive, and then he tried to kick it inside 50. Of course, it was a turnover, but I really rated that from Liam Henry. I'm hoping we see similar from Jeremy Sharp. It sounds like he's going to be one of these players that stands up in the fourth quarter just because of how fit he is. Someone else that I think we're all excited to see is Nat Fyfe. The man, the myth, the legend, the two-time Brownlow medalist. How can you not want to see a bit of Nat Fyfe? Has he impressed you training this summer?
Just in awe of his presence. Obviously, him sort of being managed by the club just with his injury history. So mm-hmm. I think it's just good to see Fyfe out on the field because that's what we want to see. Just mm-hmm. people tend to forget how good he is.
Yeah.
And I think it's a shame. Mm-hmm. So just having him just be out there mm-hmm. in his natural habitat in the midfield, probably not like winning much of the ball, crashing packs, but mm-hmm. I think just being just that big body presence that we mm-hmm. I think we lacked a bit last year, sort of the ball came out too easily out of the center square for us, couldn't defend that. I think we just needed some more size in there.
I think it's also very important that we've got some age and experience in our midfield because as good as Sarong and Brayshaw and Young have been and are going to be, it sort of takes a vet to set up here, set up like this. And I think that's part of why we were so good in 22 with Mundy negotiating that midfield structure for us, and I'm glad we got Fyfe back. He's just a bit of an icon. So without further ado, let's get into the last little bit of the show. Chris, how did you do on... Are you doing tipping this year?
I'm doing tipping, yeah.
How many did you get right last week?
Two. So mm-hmm. got... Who was it? Sydney. Mm-hmm. That got that tip correct. Brisbane fell short. Mm-hmm. Gold Coast, got that, didn't get GWS. So
yeah,
50-50.
That's a pretty good week. A lot of people got 0 or 1. But when it comes to Frio and Brisbane, we're just going to do our predictions here. So who do you think is going to win this game, Chris? Be honest. Don't be a fan. Don't be an employee. Be a rational football thinker.
Frio by goal.
Oh, hey.
It's going to be close.
Yeah. Even after the 1 point loss, that's two losses by a kick for the Lions.
I'm backing our boys in.
Okay, well, I'm going to be irrational as well, and I'm going to be picking the Dockers by two goals. So, who's going to be our best on ground, Chris? If I can get the team back up, this computer sucks. Who do you reckon's going to get the three votes, do you reckon?
Hayden Young. I love what I saw.
Ooh.
Playing against West Coast and Port Adelaide, I think. He's going to back it up again.
I like it. I love the move into the midfield. Just get your best kicks, your best players in the midfield. It's where the game's won and lost. I really think Jai Amos could go a bit crazy here. Depending on how Harris Andrews wants to play this game, if he wants to play as an intercepting back, he's not going to play on Amos. So I'm keen to see how Amos goes against potentially Gardner, which I think the matchup is going to be. Expecting a few snags from the big fella. What else is there to discuss in predictions in regards to this game? Big call. What's something that's going to happen this game that you think is a little bit outlandish?
I think Brisbane start the way they did against Carlton, get that big run on the score, but then Freo just peg it back.
Mm.
They up their intensity and then make it a tight tussle in the fourth quarter.
Mm, okay, well, I think I'm going to go Jeremy Sharp has his legacy game, and he has 20-plus touches, 400 metres gained, and 5 inside 50s. I'll go with that. I'm really hoping Jeremy Sharp pulls something out of his ass here, because we're going to need it against the Lions midfield. Anything else, Chris, from this game?
Just can't wait for round one, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm so excited for footy. How good is it just turning on the TV Friday night, Saturday night, even Thursday night, and just seeing competitive football? It's so good, is it not? Like, it makes my day. It absolutely makes
that
my day. That
November to early March is, like, the worst.
I mean, I love
your
the trade period.
Afternoons and your nights is nothing. There's nothing to watch.
The weekends are so bad because everyone ends up going out, and you're like, fuck, I don't know what to do. Like, I'm FOMO, this, that. Oh, but the footy's back, people. And guess what else is back? The Flag Mantle Podcast. So thank you very much for listening. Chris, plug your Instagram.
@WA Footy Prospects on Instagram.
WA Footy Prospects on Instagram. Follow Chris. Get all your inside scoops about the waffle. And I'll see you all next week.